to the JFK assassination, and false flags in general. And you've heard me talk about false flags on my show plenty of times. A false flag, I suppose, is when a government commit a terrorist act, a criminal act, on their own people or on themselves and blame somebody else. I.e., like 9/11, for example, is cited as one of the biggest false flags in history. It's reputed that the Americans or agents within the American administration carried out 9/11 in order to blame anybody they wanted, international terrorism. And, of course, we've had the War on Terror and we've had the Patriot Act and stuff like that. Now, other false flags, I suppose, that I want to talk about tonight with Ole, and I'm going to get Ole in now in a couple of minutes, are these shootings, these school shootings, and now recently the one in Charleston in South Carolina, which was a church shooting, nine black people were shot dead by a white racist, this guy called Dylan Roof. Now, already the conspiracy circles are crackling, to say the least, with the sound of conspiracy from all over the place, that it's just gone ballistic, that this is another false flag event in order to disarm America. Now, Obama has been on over the whole weekend crying racism, and this is a racist attack. He even used the N-word today in a news broadcast. But what he is calling for is a repeal of American gun laws. Now, the reason Americans are allowed to have guns, and I know a lot of people over this side of the Atlantic would say, oh, get rid of the guns, you know, if they didn't have the guns, they wouldn't have so many killings. People are going to kill somebody else. They'd use a knife if they didn't have a gun. It's not the guns that are the problem. And the reason the Americans have guns, and it's a very good reason, is to stop a tyrannical government from getting into power and turning America into a fascist dictatorship, which is the plan of the New World Order. And in order for their plan to work, they need to disarm America. They have to disarm them. I mean, 300 million Americans who have access to guns, who have guns in their homes, is a formidable army against any force that tries to take over the United States. And I think they're trying to start a civil war over there. They're certainly trying to start a race war, with the amount of black people being killed and murdered by white police officers who seem to be getting away with it half the time. And now Obama's coming out saying that this attack was a racist attack. And is it a false flag? Well, I don't know. But what I am going to do is, and I am also joined in the studio as well by Robbie, he's just walked in. So good evening there, Robert.
Thanks, Will. Running late.
So we're going to have a three-way chat with myself, Robert, and Ole. And Ole, he's a great guest. I've had him on before. So I'm going to bring him in. Good evening, Ole. You with me?
I sure am.
Hey, it's great to hear you again, Ole. How are you keeping?
I'm doing absolutely blessed and good, thank you.
That's very good. I'm glad to hear it. Now, I don't know if you heard me in the intro there, talking about false flags. And the most recent one, I suppose, that's been called a false flag is the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina over the last few days. What's your views on that, Ole? Do you think it's another attempt to disarm America? Because that's what Obama seems to be talking about most now in the news.
I tell you, it's so important not to scream false flag as soon as something happens. But nowadays, the last few years, it's very hard not to do it because, I mean, it's just on such an ongoing rate that it's absolutely incredible. And I spent years and years trying to, and many, I've done hundreds of interviews, trying to expose the templates that they're using because they're very, very simple. And once you start to see how they're carried out, then you will also start to see exactly the signs of them. And this latest ones, I mean, I'm so busy with so many that I haven't really had time to look into this one, but it sure has all the signs.
I haven't had a huge look at this. Now, I looked at a couple of videos today that have been put up onto YouTube, and these are similar videos that would have come out after the likes of Sandy Hook and other shootings, like the Batman shootings at the Batman movie a couple of years back, and that is crisis actors.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there was a couple of black, I suppose teenagers, they were probably around 18, 19, 20 years of age, and apparently their mother had been shot dead in this church the other night.
I tell you, before I say anything about this latest event, I need to look into it because...
And what I got from the video was they were talking to a news broadcaster about... Sorry, you still there, Ole?
I sure am.
Sorry, what did you say that time?
I didn't say anything, but it got disconnected here, but I'm still here.
Oh, did it? It's back on now, so that's grand. I was just saying there just before you got disconnected that there's a lot of videos are popping up now. In relation to this one, and the people in the videos are being accused, I suppose, by conspiracy theorists of being crisis actors.
Well,
have you seen any of these videos yourself?
I've seen a lot of crisis actors the last few years, that's for sure. And many times
these
it's...
These videos?
I have not seen the videos about Charleston. I have not.
Right. I've seen one today now, and I'll just say to you that the people who were being interviewed in the video, they were the alleged children of one of the victims. And one of the overriding things that I've noticed about all of these videos when they come up is that they seem to have no emotion. Like, that, you know, that, you know, their mother's just been shot. You think they would be grief-stricken. And one of the girl that was being interviewed says, oh, well, I'm not bitter. I mean, if the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door at 6 o'clock in the morning, that would make me bitter. But if one of my loved ones had been gunned down, I'd be beside myself with grief. And these people don't seem to be that way.
I tell you, what you're seeing is what is called duping delight. Many of these crisis actors, they even smile. If you turn down the volume when you see interviews with them, it's like when some people, when they know that they're tricking other people and they're part of something like that, they have a major problem, stops smiling. And this is what we see. It's actually a phenomenon called duping delight.
Yeah, I seen a psychologist there not so long ago on TED Talks. Do you ever watch TED Talks?
Yes, for sure.
And they had this woman on, and that was the very thing she was talking about, was duping delight. And they had a couple on from England, and it was a case that I had followed. It was this guy from England. He'd murdered his stepdaughter, and he hid her body in the attic. And he'd gone on TV a couple of days before her body was found. I think the little child's name was Tia Sharp. And he'd gone on TV, and you could see this duping delight thing where he's saying, well, I didn't do it. And as he makes that statement then, they instantly think they've gotten away with it. And of course, out comes that duping delight smile. And that was something I seen in the video today as well with the young couple in Charleston when they were talking about their mother being shot dead. They had this smile in the face saying, well, I'm not bitter. I mean, why wouldn't you be bitter? You know, your mother's just been shot.
Yeah. Do you know, a false flag operation, just like you said, it's an old naval term. And it's from in the old days when one of the big nations, if they wanted to invade a country, instead of just doing it and slaughter and kill however they wanted, because that could cause problems with their neighboring countries and maybe boycotts, with trade and so on. So what they did instead was that they put an enemy flag or the other country's flag on one of their own ships. Then they let their own ship attack themselves, and then it was totally open for them to just go in and do whatever they wanted. Then it was justified. And exactly. And so a major part of the reason they use these is to get the enemy on the outside, so people will not look at them as being the ones. But a false flag is always created from the inside. It's an inside job to create an emotion from the public saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then they come with a solution. And
that's exactly what's taking place in America now at the moment. I mean, that's the way the mainstream media over there are spinning, like, oh my God, not again, another mass shooting by a deranged white person acting alone and stuff like that, you know?
The power behind the scenes, are what they live on is divide and conquer, and fear is their tool. You know, so the more they can scare us, the more they can trick us into believing that we live in a very violent, very totally mad world with terrorists everywhere and horrible acts, you know, like mass murder and serial killers and all of these things. The more they can get us to believe that, the better for them. And
do you think that there's a deliberate attempt to try and start, I suppose, a race war in the United States?
God, yeah. They're trying everything they can to get the whole thing blown up. That's the thing. They thrive on death and destruction, and they want to destroy the U.S. from the inside. That is, it's been a plan for a long time, and they're well on their way. So this is why I really do everything I can to inform people as much as I can, so that people not buy into this whole fear scenario. And the more you can pick these things apart, showing on a very easy way that these are staged events. So many of them are staged events. It's not even real events where people are getting hurt. And so it's just like you say, it's with crisis actors. It's carried out in front of film cameras to spread the fear through media. And that's the way they go. And very often you can hear the problem, reaction, solution right in front of you within a minute. A so-called reporter goes to the site of a horrible mass shooting or whatever. So they have the problem, reaction, solution. They describe the problem. Oh my God, this lone crazy guy have done this awful thing. They interview somebody on the scene, which is part of the false flag. they say, oh my God, they were like animals. They chopped them to pieces. All of they really get into the horrible details to get us to into emotional reaction. They want us to react emotionally without using the brain and just go, oh my God, that's awful, that's awful. And then the reporter nowadays will serve it to you right there in front of you. Well, we need more strict gun laws, or we need more surveillance in the airports, or we need more cameras and anti, you know, like weapon device in the schools. Or
I mean, that was the first that that was the first thing Barack Obama did after that shooting the other day was come on television, and the first thing on the agenda was gun laws. Now, something else that interested me was, I watched the video today, and fair play to this person in the United States, someone who's wide awake, and they're watching the media, and it was the Reuters website, Reuters news agency, which is a Rothschild's news agency. But when they reported the first reports of the shooting, it was reports are coming in that a lone white male has opened fire in a local church in South Carolina.
It sounds a lot like a false flag, long way. Do you know the reason they always want a lone crazy guy is because...
You know, you see how they're changing the narrative. Like, you can see the narrative changing as the day wore on. And the last post then that they put up was they mentioned 9/11, they mentioned the JFK assassination. Oh. They were throwing all this sort of stuff in there, like, to try and, I don't know, sort of tie it all together.
But I think...
For some reason, you know. And at the end of the day, it was just another shooting in a church or a supermarket or a school. I mean, they're commonplace in America these days. But you can see the spin now that they're putting on it altogether. They're trying to make it into this white versus black thing, you know?
Yeah. Now, in my opinion, I really think that they are getting very, very desperate at the moment, because so many people are becoming aware of it. Then, and false flag operations are one of the major tools they've had to stay in power for such a long time, and to destroy and control so much of the world. So for us to become aware of it is a major setback for them. And now I would say they're trying everything they can to get us into this corral, you know, push us into this area where they can totally control us before it's too late for them. And right. I think this is also why they're hitting us from all different directions, using everything they have, like 9/11, JFK, racial things, lone crazy guy, all of it in one big pot, you know.
It's a melting pot, all right. Listen, I think Robbie has a question for you. Robbie, you go ahead there.
Hey, Oleg, nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you, Robbie.
Just on false flags there, and you know what's going on between the West and the East at the moment. Now, really, there some time back in March, we had this murder of Borov Nemtsov in Moscow, just outside the Kremlin. Now, we know the love-hate relationship between the East and the West. And there today, I've seen a report on the Russian side turning around saying, well, we want the United States to do a full investigation on the moon landing. And
on the moon landing?
Yeah, on the moon landing.
Okay.
And recently there was the FIFA issue where
Seth Blatter.
He was, you know, he won the presidential election and then he resigned. And also there was FBI, I think there was 7 or 8 guys that was investigated by the FBI. Now, I'm just looking at the tensions between the USA and Russia at the moment. I just want to say, have you any... information regarding the Boris Nemtsov assassination, because allegedly it was the Russians that done it, but I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube saying, you know, straight away it was a CIA job.
False flag,
yeah.
I tell you, Charleston and this one are one of the few I haven't looked into, so you really handpicked them. I do not know. I know that... it was a very strange hit because it was right outside, you know, one of the very central places in Moscow and so on. So I'm sorry, this one I don't want to say anything about because I haven't looked into it enough.
Well, I'll just give you a bit of a background. But basically, he's another elective. And allegedly, the Russians, well, Vladimir Putin was meant to attack him. Now, there was reports, like I said, that he was attacked, ran up on the street and gunned down. This was a couple of days before some rally was supposed to happen in Moscow. But like you said, with the mainstream media, I was watching Euro News, and the first thing they said, we have to get these people, this is the general public. Like you said, you know, shock and awe, and then all of a sudden it comes out of the public, we have to stamp down this, we have to go after these people that's portraying this.
Problem, reaction, solution.
Exactly, and it was just a fine example of this guy being shot down in Russia.
I totally agree with you. It's just that since my reputation is at stake, you know, if I start talking about things I don't know, that I prefer not saying it.
Yeah.
I have my theories. Of course, it sounds like a false flag, long way, or an inside job, but it's better that I stick to things that I know. Otherwise, I can only speculate.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's that one. Anyway. Ole, listen, I need to go to a quick break, so do you mind holding on for 2 minutes and muting your mic while I go to some ads?
For sure.
That'd be great. Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes with Ole Damagard.
Listen online now at liffysoundfm.ie.
Did you know you can listen to Liffey Sound FM live directly from our website? Just visit liffysoundfm.ie. and click on the picture of our studio on the homepage. You can also check our updated schedule with shows covering all tastes. Also, our contact details can be found here. So if you or anyone you know is interested in volunteering with us, please get in touch. So log on to liffysoundfm.ie and enjoy the music and chat.
If you're considering improving your home with replacement energy rated double glazed windows and doors, why not visit Keane Windows Showrooms beside Liffey Valley Shopping Centre, open 7 days a week. You will find an extensive range of double glazed windows, over 50 composite doors on display, and a superb range of patio and UPVC doors. Keane Windows has earned an excellent reputation in the window business by looking after our valued customers. We offer a professional service from the moment you ring us to our after-sales service. For a free quote, visit our showrooms or visit keanewindows.ie.
Join Mark Hanratty every Thursday night here on Liffey Sound 96.4 FM for his Songwriter Spotlight. Each week, Mark brings you behind the scenes of your favourite bands, your favourite tunes, and the songwriters behind them. Fascinating insight into the music industry's real heroes. That's Mark Hanratty's Songwriter Spotlight, Thursday, 8 to 10pm on Liffey Sound 96.4 FM and liffysoundfm.ie.
The Elmley, a stylishly decorated restaurant over three floors in the heart of Lucan, serving fresh, locally sourced food at reasonable prices. Open daily for lunch 12:30 to 3 with dinner each evening. Early bird, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 7:30. Friday and Saturday, 5 to 7pm. And all day Sunday from 1 to 9pm. From the weekend of May 9th, 10th, brunch will be served each Saturday and Sunday. We have an exciting cocktail menu also, so do come in and give us a try.
Creole er ingres on downda ag liffysoundfm.ie. Agus an iachas é punca car FM, jagai Liffey Sound.
Now, very welcome back, folks. Now, Ola, are you still with me?
I sure am.
Right. Now, I'm going to move away from the Charleston thing as well now, Ole, because as you said yourself, you haven't done an awful lot of research into it either. And I mean, it is only fresh in the minds of most people. But I'm sure you're in agreement that, you know, the American administration are doing a hell-bent on disarming the United States. And as anybody who's into conspiracy theories and the New World Order would know, the only way they're going to get this New World Order to come into being full-scale is to disarm America and take over that country.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because they don't seem the same. They don't have the same gun ownership problems, as they would call it, around the world. I know there's other countries where, you know, the majority of people have guns, but with America, like, you've got 300 million plus people who have access to weapons, who are entitled to have weapons, and that makes a formidable army for anybody trying to take over that country.
That is once again so true. I want to say that I'm totally pro peace, non-violence, that whole thing. At the same time, I would very much suggest to people in the States that do not give up your guns, because it's like the U.S. is like the last fortress when it comes to arms. And this is why they really try to hit the U.S. with all these so-called mass shootings in schools and so on. There's a reason why it doesn't happen in other countries, because that is where they want to use that as an excuse to disarm the population, just like you say. And it's like, really, normal logic would say, my God, we need to mass invest in the psychiatric wards and doctors, mental health and these type of things, because apparently there's a lot of lone crazy people running around shooting. But here, every single time, it's the weapon that is the problem, and it's the automatic weapons. These are the ones they want to go for first, you know.
Well, because, I mean, with automatic weapons, it's with them out of the picture of it. I mean, if most Americans only had like 6 shooters, they're not much good to them against, you know, an army coming in with AK-47s or M-16s or whatever else they might have.
No, but
I think that's the main reason they want to get rid of the automatic weapons.
Yeah, of course. And but they're going to start with the automatic, and then they go down, 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 and in the end they're going to want your knives and forks as well, I tell you.
Right. Now, I'm going to move on from that now, from the Charleston thing. What's your views on Jade Helm? Have you been looking at Jade Helm at all? This massive military exercise due to take place in America.
I would say that Jade Helm is like a, it's a military operation. At the same time, it's a psyop. It's there to scare the living Jesus out of the population. At the same time, as it is, I think what they're planning to be like the big crescendo, where they will finally manage to take over the U.S. And so it's a very... It looks very scary from the outside, I think. At the same time, one thing that they are very aware of and very afraid of, the people in so-called power, is that the many people in uniform are waking up as well. So just because you have an army of 20,000 or something like that, if you start having more and more people in the army finding out what's going on, you have a major problem.
Against some resistance there. Was it last year or the year before, where they basically done a massive sweep of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? They got rid of a lot of top generals within the Pentagon and stuff like that, and shifted them and got rid of them, and the General Petraeus is one. Like, they sort of went after him with sleazy stories and stuff like that, just in order to get rid of them. Do you think that some of these generals may have been the opposition to the New World Order? Like, that they couldn't get them on board, and, well, instead of trying to get them on board, we'll just get rid of them and put people in there who will do what we want to do?
If you study history, and if you look into whatever dictator you're looking at, if it's Stalin or if it's Mao or if it's Khomeini or now Obama, what happens is that they take over with the help of the army most of the time. But then the longer they sit in power, the stronger the army becomes. And the stronger the army becomes, the bigger a threat it is to this lone dictator. So he gets more and more afraid of the generals, because it's so easy for them to just take over, you know, one night, boom, and they're out. So, you know, you can see there's a very clear pattern of about every year or every second year, they chop the head of the top generals, get new ones in. Then when they start becoming too big-headed, chop, chop, chop again. And this is exactly what you see under Obama as well, because with Obama... I don't know if there are any supporters of Obama out there, but my God, if you stop listening to his beautiful words and his nice manners, but look upon what's going on behind him, oh my God, it's like freak out time. And if you've ever seen a dictator, a face of a dictator, that's the guy. But he's only a front figure. It's not him that is running the show. And so I would humbly suggest that we see the exact same power structure that took out JFK in 63, and that have stayed in power ever since. It was a coup d'etat there, and the same very, very brutal war machine has been in power ever since, just with a different pretty face on the cover.
Now, it's funny you should mention JFK and the Holcombs, because I know you're quite au fait with the JFK conspiracy. You've done a lot of research on that, because I've just got a text in here about Texas, and Texas being the place that JFK was assassinated. This is from a guy called Pierce, and I think he's a friend of Robbie's. And he says, Texas seems to be a bone of contention regarding firearms on Jade Helm. So martial law can only go ahead if Texas is forced to be taken. What's your view on that? Do you think that if they're going to do anything, Texas is the first place, because Texas has come out and expressed, like the state administration have expressed concerns about Jade Helm, and have told her, like, the National Guard in Texas to be on their watch.
I mean, Texas is redneck country, lots of weapons. I mean, it's the old Wild West that is there. But there's also a lot of insiders in the military-industrial complex, in the oil industry and so on, who are behind or part of this whole madness. So I would say Texas is a... If they can take that one, that is one of the strongest states when it comes to violent resistance, I would suggest.
So if they are going to make the move, you think it would be on Texas?
I wouldn't be surprised if they... I mean, what they're trying to do is to make enemy states, you know, like that Arizona and Texas should become enemies, and that the other... That they will try to get them to fight each other. They say that it's just a big exercise, but the way they put it up, and incredible... concentration of power, military power they put into this exercise, it is I tell you, I'm super positive. At the same time, when you look at this, it is a scary one. At the same time, you've got the NATO exercises up in the north of Sweden and so on. Sweden, who officially has not been part of NATO before, even though unofficially, when you look at it, they've been members since the early 50s. But all of these things are going on at the same time in Scandinavia, and they're really trying to push it to the limit, I think, because they know that the ship is going down, because so many people are waking up. It's in the thousands and thousands now. Not when you look out in the street, you think, oh my God, everybody is asleep. I tell you, it under the surface, there's so much going on. But people don't dare to talk to each other and talk about these things, many of them, because they think that people will look upon them being weird and crazy.
But
and so
I think most people, like, and it's happened to all of us. I'm sure it's happened to yourself. When you do finally wake up and you become aware of what's really going on around the world, and you start to tell people who are close to you or live around you, 9 times out of 10, they're going to look at you as though there's something wrong with you. And, you know, you need to be taken away by the men in white coats and put into an institution somewhere. It's only when the penny drops for them then that they come back and say, oh, my God, you are right.
I tell you, I've been down this road for some 30 years, and what you're saying is so spot on. It's like what everybody that is waking up has to go through. And sometimes I feel it's almost like when you lose a loved one, it's very, very painful to wake up, because you have to let go of so much that you have believed in, that you thought you knew, that you even have argued for, maybe fought for something, and then it turns out to be...
Now, there's a great movie just come out this week over in the UK, and I'm sure it'll get released, you know, wider than the UK in the near future. And it's called One by One. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah,
it's an independently made film, and Rick Mayall is in it. Do you know the British actor Rick Mayall? He died last year.
I sure do.
I didn't know he'd made this movie when at the time that he died. And in and around the time that he died, there was a little small conspiracy that popped up saying that there was just a few people saying that he was taken out, he was bumped off. And I couldn't understand why. So why would he go after Rick Mayall? He's a comedian. He made comedies back in the 80s and stuff like that. You know, he was no threat to anybody. Now, apparently, he'd had a doctor's appointment on the day of his death, and he was all fine. His heart was given the all clear. And then later on that evening, he had a massive heart attack. Now, as you well know, Ole, it's been well documented that governments have the ability to induce heart attacks in people, whether it be a little dart or a pill or whatever, some sort of poison, to induce a heart attack to make it look like a natural death. And I'm just wondering now, he was in this movie called One by One, and the movie is about somebody who wakes up to the New World Order.
Mm.
And the whole movie takes place inside a cafe, so it's the dialogue between all the different characters. But Rick Mayall is in this movie, and, you know, when I seen the clip for this film today, I couldn't help wondering, you know, was he murdered because of, you know, his involvement in this film?
I tell you, I'm very aware of this film, and Ian Crane is one of the people that promotes
it. What's your views on that? Do you think there could be some substance to that?
I tell you, to take out someone, to kill someone, is very messy, and the people in power really try to avoid it, you know, because then you get into a lot of, you have to cover a lot of things up, and so I would say I would think that there must be a reason much, much bigger than just taking part of a film to be taken out like that. At the same time, I don't know the background details about this case. I know that Rick died very young, very young. Mm-hmm. I saw him once and he was fine. I mean, but so it was a shock for everyone. But do you know, there's another thing behind what the CIA and the Mossad have been using for many, many years. Is called the strategy of tension, to inflict fear and pain into modern society by any means, you know, violence, so-called terror acts, burning football stadiums, causing panic and fear everywhere. And I've noticed that when Rick died, there were two or three other countries where some of the main comedy acts died as well, very young. We had one in Sweden, we had one, I can't remember where the other one was as well, where they died within a few weeks. And all three of them were sort of national icons when it came to comedy. So I do not know, but it's well worth looking into, because he was
something I'm going to look into a little bit deeper now, because of the fact that I'd read it at the time that Rick Mayall had passed away, that there was some talk that maybe his death wasn't how it was reported in the mainstream media, and there might have been something else behind it. And now seeing him starring in this movie, having a major role in this movie, which is a low-budget movie. I think it cost £25,000 to make, which is buttons in movie terms. But the fact that he was involved in it and he died while making the movie as well, it's all a little bit...
Well,
conspiratorial, to say the least, you know.
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is the difference between conspiracy theories and conspiracy facts. I prefer to stick to conspiracy facts. Mm. When I can prove it, then I talk about it. If I don't want to give any more energy to theories, but for sure, when something like this happens, it needs to be looked into. That is for sure. Yeah. And heart attacks. It's unfortunately. Yeah, but things happen as well. People die young, and these things.
Well, that's true. That's really true. Yeah.
So, and just like I say, it's very messy to take someone out, you know. And then most of the time, they need a good reason for it. So, he must have pissed people off big time, or there must be something that we are not aware of. I think just to take part of a film like this would not be enough for them to take such a major step.
Yeah, so I suppose, because it's not as if the movie is getting a worldwide release or anything like that. It's not, you know. It's been released to local cinemas, I think, in Doncaster and London. So it's only in a couple of places. Or Nottingham, should I say. Nottingham in England. And it's due for release in Doncaster in the next couple of days, I think. So, you know, it's just a thought. You know, I just thought I'd throw it out
there. For sure.
Robbie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just want to skip back to the UN in Europe at the moment. You're saying their presence in Switzerland.
NATO.
They're on the border of Russia, they're in Poland, Latvia, etc. You know, even the Americans now has rolled their armored trucks into the Ukraine. If you just go back a couple of days there to the weekend, we had a lot of anti-austerity protests throughout Europe. One of the biggest ones being in the UK, I think in London.
A quarter of a million
was the figure I read today, which is amazing.
Mm.
Now, I just want to see, just talk about the readiness of the UN in regards to, you know, looking for a reason to, you know, kind of implement martial law. Do you think if things had got out of hand the weekend throughout Europe with these protests, do you think that would have been like a catalyst for these armies to ascend on the streets?
I think that's the next step.
Do you think we're at this point now?
I think it's very, very important for us, the normal people, to look upon how we deal with this difficult situation. Because if we take to violence, they will use that as a mean to squash us. They have got so much military power. We need to transcend this in a totally non-violent way, but total fearless exposure of what's going on. I'm not talking about a meek way of just bending down and bending over, absolutely not, but not use violence, not violence. That is what they want. They really want us to do it. You know, it's like
they kind of poking you with a stick. They want that reaction.
Exactly.
I suppose more of the people in Europe, you know, it's more of a spiritual war that we need rather than a violent war. You know, it's a collective thinking thing where we can kind of ignore what they're looking to do. I think that would be the aim at the moment.
Like I mentioned before, fear is their main tool. You know, it's by fear they want to get us by the balls and just push our head down in the dirt. You know, that is where they can control us. But the higher you are in spirit, the stronger you are, the more you fill your heart with gratitude and lift yourself, you know, so your spirit comes high, the harder it is for them to control us. And this is what they really, really don't want us to become aware of, that we are so strong in ourselves. So I would very much suggest to turn off the TV, because that is one of the main tools they have to control us. They pump all of this fear on us, and then start really focusing on getting your strength back, your spiritual strength, and fill your heart with gratitude to lift your spirit, and start helping each other, you know, look everywhere for selfless things you can do, you know, help anyone you see, help people in your neighborhood, help your neighbors, and get strong together, because they try to divide us and get us fearful. I would say, let's let go of the fear and become brave and strong and in balance, so that we can handle these times and not buy into the things. Because just like you say, they're poking us with a stick, you know, saying, come on, go, come on, come on, you can.
It's funny you should even say that, the poking us with a stick. I mean, if you look at the austerity marches in London over the weekend, as Robbie just mentioned there, up to a quarter of a million people on the streets of London protesting against government cutbacks. And at the same time, the British government announced on Friday £12 billion in welfare cuts. I mean, if that's not going to piss the protesters off, nothing will. And I think they released that information in time to get up the protesters' noses, hoping that they might just kick off.
Exactly.
Because as Robbie said, if they kick off, that gives them an excuse then to come in, impose martial law nationwide, let the army take over, and it'll be the beginnings of bringing in the new world order once and for all.
It will always be done for our protection, you know, because we need it, but it's absolute bollocks, because this is exactly what they're trying to do, to get us going, you know, get the fighting going, and be very aware they're going to send in provocateurs, they're going to send in all of these things, and just do not follow up, you know, especially young people think that, oh, it's really cool to throw rocks, and if somebody starts, it is not. It is so, so dangerous to get down.
That's what they're looking for as well. But I mean, if you want to know who wants to have a riot, have a look who comes dressed for a riot. It's usually the police, not the protesters.
Exactly. I love points.
They're the ones that are dressed for it, you know.
I know. I love
points. So listen, Ollie, I need to go to my last set of ads. So, do you mind holding on for 2 more minutes?
For sure.
Right, and if you'd mute your mic. Folks, we'll be back in 2 more minutes with Ole Damagard for the last segment of the show.
You're listening to Lippy Sound, 96.4 FM.
All you listeners of Lippy Sound, have you heard of Bath Store & More? We are the specialists in everything to do with bathrooms. We give start-to-finish advice on upgrading bathrooms and offer free call-out service to assist with the design and layout of new bathrooms. We are located at 3 Metro Point Business Park, Kettles Lane, Swords, only 3 minutes from Dublin Airport. Why not check out our website or call us on 807-4074.
Have you missed one of your favourite shows on Lippy Sound FM? No problem. Simply log on to lippysoundfm.ie and click on the podcast section at the top of the page. Here you'll find a great selection of our shows for you to listen back to at a time that suits you. Alternatively, you can visit mixcloud.com/lippysoundfm to see a full list of podcasts available. Lippy Sound is your community station.
Have you explored or experienced any of the many attractions of the Liffey Valley? Not the shopping centre, but the beautiful Valley of the Liffey on your doorstep. If you haven't, you should start now. You don't know what you're missing. Liffey Valley Park Alliance has been lobbying for the conservation of this marvellous amenity and the exploitation of its tourism potential for the creation of employment in the area. We welcome the commitment by South Dublin County Council in their 5-year tourism strategy 2015-2020 to highlight and promote the valley as a major tourism tourist destination. Creation of a Liffey Greenway from Selbridge to Dublin City is an important feature of the plan, which would make the valley more accessible for locals and visitors and boost the local tourism economy.
Where the strawberry beds, sweet down to Liffey, you will kiss away the worries from my brow.
On 96.4,
community radio at its best.
Liffey Sound FM.
Now, folks, I will back. Now, Ola, are you still with me, yeah? Hello?
I am.
Oh, that's right. Listen, just another text I want to read out. It's off the same listener, Pierce, I think it is. Welcome, lad. He says, you're welcome, lads. He says, the main reason Texas is or might be the first state to fall is because they have their own power grid and oil supplies, but also the largest amount of firearms per head of population. He says, I still don't fall for the New World Order just yet, but something else is in the background, far bigger, I think. He says, thanks for the mention, by the way. So thanks for that, Pierce. So, but I am going to move away from the Texas thing and the J-Town thing, but I suppose he is right. With Texas being so independent from the rest of America as far as their energy supplies and stuff like that, they need to take them out.
And Texas, as a state, was looking for their gold reserves back there sometime off the feds,
right.
And you were denied that. So
that's they are a bit of a rogue state as far as the federal government is concerned, because they're so into that constitution, which is fair enough. You can't argue with that, you know what I mean? So they are a bit of a stumbling block. Now, I'm going to move on from things on the other side of the Atlantic and come closer to home. In the recent Bilderberg meetings, there was talks online, I don't know if it's true or not, or if you've heard anything, Ole, about the cashless society, that was one of the big subjects, about getting rid of cash once and for all. Now, there was a festival over in the UK recently, and the Download Festival, as it's known as, and they tried it out at the festival, having no cash within the confines of the festival arena, and it all went tits up, actually. The electronic system broke down, so it didn't really work out in their favour.
Disaster.
Well, I can say Sweden is almost a cashless society now. It is absolutely incredible if you go there. There's more or less no cash. Many banks do not deal with cash at all. You can't put cash in, you can't take cash out. Even if you want to go and buy groceries in the market, they have credit card, these machines. And I was there this summer, and like there were gas stations where there were big signs saying, please, if you have any change or coins, please let us have them. We will buy them off you because we can't get it from the bank for exchange.
So if you wanted to buy a card off your friend down the road who's selling his car for like €1,000 and you wanted to buy it from him.
But this is the whole point. They want it digital so that they can control it. Now they've also started to ban safety boxes. Now what do you call it in the bank? These boxes.
Safe deposit boxes.
Safe deposit boxes are being banned as well, and now in the banks, so that people need to take out whatever they have there and either sell it or so it will come out in the open. You know, so it's all by design, I tell you. And now they are aiming. They're aiming for Denmark to be the first cashless, totally cashless society in Europe, but Sweden is way before Denmark.
No, I believe from what I was reading over the weekend, they're going to use Denmark as a template for a cashless society in the very near future. Is that correct?
I've seen it. I've been to Denmark. I did not see it there when I went to Sweden. It was absolutely a major shock for me. But listen, can I talk about something else when it comes to solutions instead of just pointing at a lot of dark problems? Recently, or for the last 6 months or so, I've been deeply involved with Sam Gardner and Max Egan. Max Egan from Australia.
I've had Max on the show before. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And one of the things we worked hard on is the so-called the Full Circle Project, which is it is meant as like a grassroots movement, but with no leaders, absolutely no leaders. And the whole idea is to try and join up as many as possible, because there's so many people being frustrated but not knowing what to do. This is the constant thing that I'm being asked all the time. Yeah, but what can I do? I'm just an ordinary whatever. And here, the whole idea is with this one is to find the head of the snake. And according to Max, his idea behind this is that you will always find that it's somewhere in a power position in government and so on that someone has abused their power. They have signed off the rights, you know, they're there to work for the people, but due to corruption or greed of their own or pressure or whatever, they have signed over some rights that belong to the people. They've signed it over to companies or other power structures behind it, and so on. So the idea is to join into groups of five people, like thousands and thousands of thousands of small groups of five people, because as soon as you get bigger groups, like 20 or something like that, you will always have like alpha males, she female or male people that start saying, let's go this way, and then the rest of us will just follow like sheeps and follow. But if you are intimate groups of five, it's very, very difficult to infiltrate. Yeah. And also, it is, you can still be in a group of people that you trust and so on.
That's a good idea.
Then it's connected to two different websites, one that is called The Connector. These are being developed now. I hope they will be online working properly within a month or so. The Connector is a website where you can go in and you can say, there will be like a map, and you can pinpoint where you, whatever area you are in, not on your house or but somewhere in the area that you want to be active. You just say, I'm here, mm-hmm. and then you write what area it is you see as a problem, what is it you really feel strongly about that you want to make a difference in that area, and so on. And then through this, once you sign up and put yourself on the map, I want to say that you don't have to put in your own name, you don't have to put in your address, anything like that. And also, every time that the website loads, the pointer you put in there automatically moves, so it will never be in the same static position. But what you will see through this website is that you will see other people in the same area that are also awake and want to make a difference. Mm. So the website is, that part of the website is not there for you to hang around and on a chat and complain and talk about things. It's for you to personally meet up with people
and start solutions.
Offer, find solutions and so on. So the other part of the website is where there's a database being developed where you go in and you write down things that you think this is the problem. Depending where you are, I mean, it can be the garbage disposal, or it can be schools, or it can be GMOs, or whatever it is you find is the problem. Try to be really as specific as possible, and then see if you can come up with what your solution would be for that thing and so on. Then every time you go on the website, you will be asked to put from 1 to 10 a rating on other people's solutions in the same areas. So if you think, oh, that's a really good one, you put 7, 8, 9, 10 or whatever, however you want to rate it. If it sucks, you put a 1. And then as soon as one suggestion has gone more than 7 from 3 other people or more, it filters up to the next level. And there, once again, it's being rated. As soon as get more than 3, more than 7, it goes up and up and up. So very quickly, very good solutions can be coming up to the top.
It's like the old saying, let's bang our heads together, you know, and eventually a good idea is going to pop out.
But the thing is, this is aiming globally, because if you have problems with fracking, or you're in Australia or in the US or in the UK or in Denmark, doesn't matter, it's the same problem. If you got problems with GMOs, same globally, same problem. Vaccines, same problem. Chemtrails, same problem. So if you can find really good solutions in one location, boom, it can come up there within hours, almost come up to on a very high level where everybody can see it.
It sounds like a very good idea. Now it's something I'll keep my eye on now in the future.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Max and yourself will be putting up any information in relation to it as it transpires in the near future.
Yeah, for sure. We're out there doing everything we can. Also, Sven Gardner is very much involved, and people from Vaken.se, the awake.se in Sweden, are also very involved. But it's very important to understand that this is not a political movement. it is not a movement with leaders where somebody will say, let's go right or go left or whatever. This is for everyone to move in the same direction, but aiming at the abuse of power, because that is something that everyone can agree upon. Everybody is pissed off because someone in a power position in the government has abused their power. So,
And this is a big thing with Max Egan as well, like when he's talking about governments, that as far as he's concerned, it's a breach of trust. And this is what you can get these people on. Get them out of office because they have breached the trust. They've gone into office with a manifesto saying, we're here for the people and we'll do this, that and the other. And they do the complete bloody opposite of them when they get in. It's no different here as well. It's the same.
No, it's the same.
It's treason.
But also, it's a matter of not accusing, not attacking, but approach with questions in a language that they will see, they will understand that we know what they're up to, because they're hiding behind this legal language and so on. So, for instance, Max did an amazing thing in Australia. There was this, it wasn't fracking, it was a gas well, I think, up in northwest of Australia. A well there, and they were destroying the water there because they were using like millions of liters of water to do in the same way of fracking, you know, totally destroying the groundwater and so on. So instead of attacking them and instead of accusing them, they approached the people that were in charge of this whole thing, that had signed over the rights to this company to do this, and they say, as far as we can see, the water in a country, especially a country of like Australia, is something needed for life to exist. Mm. That means that if the water is destroyed, that would be a risk for national security or a threat to national security. Please show us what investigations and things you have done to prove that this will not threaten our groundwater and not threaten national security. Please show us these whatever studies you have done, and if not, please explain to us how this is not a breach of trust or not an abuse of power. And you know, so within 1 week they shut this down. 1 week
asking the right questions. Yeah.
This is the thing, you know. Instead, had they gone there, had they thrown rocks at them, had they tried to tie themselves to the bulldozers or whatever, police would have been called in, the military would have been called in, all of these things. It would have been to like everybody would have been calling each other names and all of the. But this is like up against the wall with these questions and expose it in media, you know.
Gets them on the back foot as well. Well, listen, Ole, unfortunately, I have come up to the end of the show. Robbie, do you have any more questions for Ole before we go?
No, but just like to say that's a great idea, and that Psy Connector, I'd say it's going to be brilliant. I really like the think behind it, and like I said, it's not just one person. Like I said, groups of five, you know, and a voting system, anonymous voting, just thinking of great ideas. There's no kind of like no democracy.
There's no leaders.
There's no democracy. So no, that's brilliant, and I wish you the best of luck with that, and I'll be watching out for that.
Right, Ole, do you want to give the name of your website out before I let you go?
Yes, please. My website is lightonconspiracies.com. That's conspiracies, because there's so many, much more than only one. lightonconspiracies.com. Please contact me if anyone wants to get involved with this Full Circle project, because I will just forward it to our coordinator, and she will get in touch with you, explain a lot more, because there's so many groups, there's so many people, there's so many beautiful souls out there that want to do good, that you know, this evil we're looking upon is so small. This group behind the New World Order, they're in the thousands. We are billions. So really, let go of the fear. There's nothing to be fearful of. We just need to transcend this in a beautiful way, and
peacefully,
non-violent. I beg you have to be brave and do it in a non-violent way. Otherwise, we will go down.
That's it. Well, Ole, listen, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, so I will have to let you go, and hopefully talk to you again very soon.
Anytime you want me.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Okay, Olin.
And you
great
take
talking
care.
Talk
good to talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care, bye.
Bye-bye.